video at the end of media of what we did with John Jay this past week and how many were fed and blessed, and that'll be at the end. By the way, if you served on the serve team, and about 30 of you did, come on, give them a big hand. About 30 of y'all did. Or you gave significantly. Helen baked you something, like a goodie thing, and you want Helen's baked goods, amen? She'll be waiting for you in the kitchen to just thank you, and she just did that as an extra, just gratitude. We have great people here at this church, right, everybody? And welcome the Facebook Live audience. Just say hello to them. We're glad that they're here. And again, if you're ever in South Texas, San Antonio, zip code 78227, this could be your church. If you're not going to a church, if you're going to a church, stay there, be faithful, be blessed, a blessing to your pastor. But if you don't have a church, this could be your church. Amen. You'll meet the great people of Living Faith Church. Two slides that I need to show you about before we get into our series. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. And we're entering that Easter season. But I like to say this, blessed is he or she that comes in the name of the Lord. I know it was said about Jesus, but when you go in the name of the Lord to do something, you're blessed. Amen. Amen. We have two opportunities this season to do the work of God in our community. I introduced to you last week, as I see the first slide, the Bless Every Home campaign that we'll do. And all we'll do is walk up with attractive door hangers that we'll do it on Monday at 7 p.m. We'll meet in the student center. Man up. You're going to do that with me. We'll man up. But also ladies will be there with us. Lady up. Also our prayer meeting that takes place for our prayer warriors. We'll just gather together and we'll turn our community into a prayer. Amen. Just praying people in to our church and blessing them. And a 30-second prayer will do wonders. As you walk up to that home, you'll just say, Lord, bless this home, Lord. Let them be new creations in Christ, Father. Bless them, Lord, and provide for them. And on the door hanger, it will literally say, we prayed for you today that God would bless your home. Who wouldn't like that? Amen. We're not going to knock on the door. We're not going to share the Roman road. Amen. Because doors are going to slam that way. Amen. The ring camera will look at us. What are they going to do to us? Amen. We're just going to lay a door hanger, put a door hanger on their door, bless them, and invite them back to Living Faith Church in love. They may never come, but we still pastor them. Amen. We pastor our community. We love our community day. And so make sure you're part of that 7 a.m. Monday. Tomorrow will come quickly. Be part of that with me as we. And then Wednesday night is Be the Church, and we leave the four walls. We're literally the church. If you'll do that Wednesday night with me, that'll be a blessing also. We'll meet in the student center and pray for all those door hangers and pray for our homes today. We believe we can bless every home in our community. Amen. The second thing that I need to tell you about was unexpected. But this past week, I received an email from Marbach Manor Apartments. Last year we went and we loved on them on our Good Friday. I wasn't planning on doing that again because of the work it took and all the stuff. But when you get an email that says something like this, Pastor Mario, we would love for your church to come again and serve and be a blessing to our community. What are we supposed to do? Tell them no? No, we go. Amen. We go in the name of the Lord and we love on people. And we. So I need help there again. Amen. I'm a needy person. Amen. And so Irma and I don't want to be out there alone on Good Friday. Give me a good amen. Amen. And like last year, if many will show up, there's much to do, the egg hunt, and that's just beside the point. You know what happened? We were able to pray with people there on the campus of that apartment complex, just a stone's throw away. It's a needy complex. They need God, and they need us, and they need us to shepherd. When people ask for us, aren't you honored that they would ask? Of all the churches, they've asked for us because we love God and we love people. Amen? Amen. So be part of that. Mark your calendars. Let's outreach, and love people. There'll be plenty to do. Helen, again, has taken a lead in that. But also somebody new, Pedro and Julie. They're going to help us out. They're also point people. Bless them as they step up and serve God. New people are rising. Give me a good amen. Blessed is he or she that comes in the name of the Lord. Right, everybody? I want to welcome to you our Red Letter series. Do you have your message notes? Amen. I already gave them to you. Yes, many of you have them. If you don't, I already told you to raise your hand, right? I'm just confusing the first service with the second service. And hey, my name is Mario. Give me a good amen. How about yours? Yeah, I need to take my memory pill, right? Amen. Ginkgo biloba. Amen. I'm going to pop a couple of them here, period. We're going to march into our Easter season. And Easter's great, amen, but it's not about Easter bunny, Easter eggs, and chocolate bunny. It's about the resurrection power of Jesus, right? Amen. And sometimes we bring people in that way, but we don't give them that message. When they walk in, they realize our Savior's risen, our King is risen, amen. And so I want you to be a bringer. Hearts are open. this season more than ever. Who are you going to invite to church? Who are you going to bring to church? Amen. Start with your family first. Hearts are open. Reach out to people. We're doing a red letter series, and we're looking at the final week of Christ, and we're significant passages where Jesus spoke in red, and what did he mean to us as a believer, as a Christian? What did he mean to me as he wrote the red letters to my heart today? And our theme scripture that we're using all month long is Mark chapter 10, verse 32. It says this: on the way up to Jerusalem, because that's where he would be crucified, Jesus was leading the way. I'm so thankful that we have a leader in this church, and his name is Jesus, right? Amen. And the disciples were astonished. They were like, wow. But while others followed, were afraid. And I don't want you to be in the place of being fearful, but I want you to be in that wow moment. And the only way to do that is to get near to Jesus, right? You stay, you follow, it's okay, but let's come close this season. And again, he took the 12 aside. These were his closest men, the apostles. And he told them, this is what's going to happen to me. He says, on the way up to Jerusalem, notice the red letter. He said, the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit on him. They will flog him. Boy, that sounds terrible, right? They will kill him. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, right? It's Friday on the cross, but Sunday's coming, right? And only God could raise from the dead. A human can't do that. God can raise people from the dead, but only that's why we serve our risen King, because he rose, right? He said everything. And so in 3 days, he will rise. And he told them, I'm going to rise in 3 days. And they didn't hear that so much. And sometimes we don't hear the full last minute warning here, but Jesus said, no, it's not going to end that way. It's going to end right today. I want you to lean in today. Amen. If you're still not perfect. Amen. If there's a problem that's keeping you down, amen, I want you to look at the red letters with me, amen. Mark chapter 14, our passage is taken directly from that. Jesus is marching on, Mark 14, 12, on the big screen or on your devices, you can look at that. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, which is the Passover meal, it was his custom to sacrifice the Passover lamb. Hey, we got to get a lamb, Jesus. It's a meal that we do as Jewish people. And Jesus' disciples asked, where are we going to go? Where are the preparations to eat the meal that we're going to eat, the full supper that we're going to have? And he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man is carrying a jar there to meet you. Follow him. He'd already set it up. Jesus said, one day I'm going to need a Passover room, a Passover meal. I want you to have it ready for me. And this man did what he had it ready. We don't know his name, but he was behind the scenes. And say to the owner of the house, as he enters, the teachers ask, where is the guest room that we may eat the Passover with the disciples? And he will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, verse 16, and they went into the city, and they found the thing just as Jesus told them. And so they prepared for the Passover. And when the evening had come, somebody say nighttime. Nighttime. Yeah, Jesus arrived with the 12. And I just want to pause there. And somebody in this room, you're facing your darkest hour. That's why you came to church. There's a night season right now. And you may not have gone through it this week, but I want to prepare you also with something that you may have in your ammo chamber. You may have on your gun belt. You say, you know what? I got truth right now. I got these notes right now about how I should live in my night. See, Jesus faced everything that you'll ever face and then some. No one will ever have it as hard as our Savior. No one will ever suffer as much in this room as our Savior. And he was in his night season, and yet he was still making time with his disciples. If it would have been my last couple of days, I think I would have been a little bit more selfish. How about you? But our amazing Jesus, look at him. He's still communing. He's still wanting relationship with people. He's still stretching. And so in his darkest hour, he's showing us how to live. And while he was reclining at the table eating, he said, truly, I tell one of you, you're going to betray me. And the one is eating with me. Man, after somebody was going to also betray me, one of my best friends, I think I would have had a pity party, but not Jesus. And while they were sad and they were looking at one another, surely it does not mean me. Is it you, Peter? Is it you, Thomas? You're doubting all the time. Surely it's you. They were saying, no, who is it? And this is the one of the 12, the one that dips the bread in the bowl with me. I kind of would have made sure that I didn't do that. How about you? I would have decoyed myself, right? I go, I know not what to do, right? And the Son of Man will go just as it's written about him. And I notice here, as he's doing that, and it says in verse 22, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Again, he's about to die. He's going to face a terrible, not an instant death. I'm going to die in my sleep one day because that's how much Jesus loves me. You know, Jesus was about to get hit by a truck over and over and run over, backed up over and over. That's how death is death. And he knew he was going to die that way. But look, he's giving thanks and breaking bread. And it shows about a person that if you're facing a crisis and you're feeling the awfulness and the things that we face on this earth, a thankful person attracts the favor of God. I'm not, well, why can't I behave that way, Mario? Why? Well, it just shows you the model of our Savior. You're not going to be perfect in the trial. Nobody is. No one's Jesus. But we can strive for being thankful even in the trial. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, right? We bless the name of the Lord. A thankful person attracts the favor and the blessings of God, amen? Something about that person, amen? It's special, amen? And you want to be that person. And so he gave thanks and he broke it. And again, he told his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and there he goes again. And when he had given thanks, right? And he gave thanks and he drank from it. He said, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for you and the many. And he said to them, truly, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until I drink anew in the kingdom of God. And when they went and they sang a hymn at the Mount of Olives, I wonder what they sang. Jesus was, can you imagine him singing? Or him, maybe he gave one of the guys the assignment to sing that had the voice. But can you imagine that song that they sang that day? It's beautiful, I bet. Dinner with Jesus, I want you to take up that seat. I invite you to the table of the Lord. From there, we proclaim his cross. From there, we celebrate his life and we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus at the table. There's a miracle meal for you if you take this meal. It's a miracle that provides for you. It reveals your heart when you're at the table. It reveals also, it provides your redemption. But it also right now fills your deepest hunger that you'll ever have if you come to the table today. Amen. I want to remember the sacrifice that Jesus did for us at the cross and what he did for us at the table of the Lord and come in thanksgiving, because this meal is literally a miracle meal and it will give you your miracle that you need today. The first principle is this. Number one is this. Somebody say this with me. Dinner with Jesus provides. It really does. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And the people, the children of Israel, were under bondage and slavery with Pharaoh. And they were building pyramids. And they needed to deliver. And Charlton Heston had this burning bush experience. I mean, Moses had this burning bush experience. You awake? Yeah, making sure you're awake. Amen. I woke up that guy. Amen. I saw the movie. Yeah, I saw the movie. Ten Commandments. And so he said, Moses, go. Let my people, tell them to let my people go. Tell Pharaoh to do that. And Pharaoh, you know, relents. And, you know, at the beginning, and Moses tells him, he says, you know what? There's this plague coming. There's going to be a series of plagues if you don't do what God wants you to do, to let the people go. All we're asking is just for us to be free. And Pharaoh, you know, said, no, that's my economy. You guys are, you know, you're building everything. In no way you're going to go. One plague after the other, one plague after the other. Pharaoh, you know, the sea turns bloody red. There's flies everywhere, gnats, and terrible things happen. The economy goes down. They're losing it. And Pharaoh still hardens his heart, the Bible says. Remember that scripture? And that last plague, God tells him this. He said, this is a plague now. I'm going to send him. He says, I'm going to send an angel of death. I want you to get the paschal lamb, the perfect lamb, and I want you to paint that blood red of the lamb over the doorpost of your home. I want you to paste that because the death angel's coming. When he comes, he's going to pass over all the ones that have painted their doorpost, the wood on their door, the lamb's blood. It says in Exodus 12, look at that with me, verse 13. You haven't had any fun all day. You've been amening, but you can talk back now. Let's go ahead and read this together on three. Are you ready? Exodus 12:13, there in your handout. 1, 2, 3. The blood will be a sign to you on your house where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over. Israel, they were spared the judgment if they did what God told them to do. See, I'm all for listening to God, but I got to put it into practice. They had to do something with the blood. You have to do something with this word today. You have to do something when you read your Bible, when you do your devotion. You just can't say, yeah, I believe in the blood. But you got to get up and do something and put the feet, the boots to the walk, you know, walk with it. Walk with God, right? it's all good and pretty. We can, oh yeah, I believe the word, but you got to do what God. So plead the blood over your home. The Bible says that it's God's will that your household is saved. And some of our house isn't saved. And you plead the blood over your sons and daughters. You plead the blood over your husband, over your wife, over your children, your grandchildren. You leave a legacy. The blood is on my home and my household shall be saved in the name of Jesus. You got to do something with the blood. With your words, you frame your world. You frame the word that you frame the world that you have. So use your words and plead the blood, right? He says, when you did that now, at the end of it, the passage, you said, now it's going to be a memorial. I want you to keep this as an everlasting covenant with me, my people. And it comes all the way to the New Testament now. And Jesus is now in an upper room and he's breaking bread with his disciples and he shifts it. He goes, you know what? The lamb, yeah, we're going to eat it. But we're also, I'm going to symbolically now change everything. And I don't know if they got the grasp of it, but they did remember because he said, do this in remembrance of me. And they went back and they remembered today. So today, your sins are forgiven if you're a Christian. I have to believe most of you are because you're at the 10:30 service. You came to church instead of watching whatever's on television today. Yeah, it's not football season, right? Yeah. You're doing what God's told you to do. You're living, the blood has saved you, and you're here at church. Yeah. Why is the devil still messing with me? Why is the devil still, I'm in debt? And why is the devil still, there's unforgiveness? And why I'm addicted? And why do I have this thing go on in my home and rebellion? And why are there still sins that are happening? God wants you to go beyond just staring at that problem. He wants you to apply the blood. Amen? There's an extra scripture I have for you about what Jesus did on the cross for you in Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote this. And he said this in 2:15, God brought you alive along with Christ. Amen. Think of it. All your sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. What a new beginning. The old arrest warrant was canceled, nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority of the cross. In other words, he took all the devil and his imps. And look what he did at the very end. He marched them naked through the streets. Paul is using symbolism when an army would be conquered or people would be conquered. And the army that got defeated, they would march them through the streets naked to humiliate them. And that's what Jesus did when he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He marched the imps naked and shamed them. He said, and so you as a believer have that authority. You're not supposed to get messed with. You're going to face trials. But you take authority and you appropriate the cross and you appropriate the resurrection of Christ in your life, in your home. Amen. And you live beyond that. Amen. Thank God it will rain, but you go through it. Give me a good amen. So there ought to be some big thanks when you come to the table because what you're doing is preaching. Amen. Yeah. The Eucharist in some denominations, it literally means, and we're going to have the Eucharist today. We call it the Lord's table, but it means to give thanks. And we ought to give big thanks when we come and celebrate this moment. I thank God for this building, but it still ain't communion. This building can't defeat the devil. Communion can. I thank God for this sermon because I'm preaching it. This sermon will inspire you, but communion defeats the devil. I thank God for the songs of faith that were sung on this platform, but as great as they were, the communion defeats the devil. Do you see what we ought to give thanks for, right? How we ought to go over the top. There's a covenantal authority that you have in communion because it stretches all the way back from the Old Testament that framed everything for the New Testament, that this is how we do now, how we have Passover in our lives and sin passes over our lives today. Amen. So I come grateful to the table of the Lord. How about you? Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. Yeah, it doesn't say thank it. It says say so when we come to the table. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11:26 on the screen, it says this, not in your handout. But whenever you eat this bread and drink of this cup, somebody shout, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Bible says this is a meal that preaches. You can preach to the church? No, they don't need to be preached to. You preach to Satan. You preach to the devil and his imps. This is where you get to tell the devil and his imps what you want to tell people. There's a pastor named Jack Hayford. And this man in his church kept having multiple affairs with women in the church. Now, the women had something to do with it. But this man was like a serial adulterer in his church. It was a large church in California. And after counseling and after telling the man this has to stop, the man still kept. And the man was basically in there to cause division in his body and hurt his church. And after probably, you know, the third time, Pastor Jack Hayford told them, he said, you know what, you have to leave. You're not allowed in this church. You've caused too much damage. You have to leave. And I understand that. How about you? Amen. It's the right thing to do. Well, the man came back on a night of worship or something they were doing. And Jack Hayford, true story, goes to the man and said, get the hell out of my church. Get the hell out of my church. Get all your hell and get out of my church. Get all the hell that's within you and God, get out of my church. And that's what some of us have to do when we take this meal today. You don't tell people, go to hell. You, devil, go back to your home. Go to hell, devil. Go to hell with all your debt in my life. Go to hell with all the unforgiveness, all the past shame that I've... Go to hell, devil. If you're going to tell anybody to go to hell, tell the devil, because that's where he belongs, right? Amen. Some of y'all are lacking in your finances. Tell the devil to go to hell with the lack that he has. Amen. Begin to tithe. Begin to do what God's told you to do. Amen. The second principle is this: dinner with Jesus, it reveals our heart today. I'm going to take you on a journey today, and I'm just warming you up a little bit. This, the first service, there were people that had to make some course changes in their life because of what, not what I said, because of the Word of God. And this is going to change our church, and that's okay. It's okay to get, this isn't a message to grow living faith. Amen. Can I just tell you that today? Because we got to mature, we got to grow, amen? And so this is God's table, not your table. And so when you go to your table, there may be all sorts of stuff going on at your table. And that's okay, it's your table. In a way, it's God's table, but it's your table. You think, but when it's God's table, see, there's no gossip at God's table. There's no betrayal because the price was paid. Do you understand that today? And so this is his table. We're going to do it God's way because it's his table, right, everybody? It shows the heart of one named Judas Iscariot. When I was in Bible college, they were praying over this guy. And, you know, supposedly they were doing deliverance on him. I don't know, but my eyes were closed because they said, I had this thing, if you closed your eyes, a demon wouldn't get on you. You ever hear that? So I was closing my eyes. They were rebuking the devil with the guy in the dormitory, and he was like wailing. And I heard this one guy yell out this, Iscariot! But he yelled it out because of that name. And he says, leave this man. And there's a principle about demons and what they do. And anyway, my eyes stayed closed, and I'm okay. How about you? You ever have to wash up because you've been playing outside as a kid? Mama tells you the food's ready, but you may smell like a chival. You may smell like a goat, but you still got to wash up, right? At least your hands smell good, right? And everybody's sitting next to the junior that's kind of stinky, right? But they're still eating dinner. Jesus wants you to wash up. Get your heart right today. Amen. In John chapter 12, verse 4, it says, but one of his disciples named Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him, objected. And again, he coming against Mary, she had poured all that perfume on Jesus. And why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? There's always going to be a critic when people love God and they show extravagance toward Jesus. It could happen in the church. It could happen in our community. But there's going to be a critic that comes against people and say, look at the way, you know, and they're not doing it with the right heart. They're not, well, you beat me. You're making yourself look better. It's that critical spirit. And it was worth a year's worth of wages. This is what Judas is saying. And he did this not because he cared for the poor, but look, because he was a what? And as the keeper of the money bag, he was, you know, what he was with Jesus. And he used to help himself. He would pilfer it when was put in. See, Judas had a weakness, right? And we all got our kryptonite. Even Superman had that, right? As great as Superman was, he had that kryptonite. Every one of us has something going on in our lives that is a weakness, or we're bent towards that thing, and the devil knows what buttons to push and how can I overcome? What can I do to do that? And so the meal will help us with that, but it also reveals our heart if we come wrong to the table. The Passover meal with Jesus, he was having the meal. Picture this in the theater of your mind. He's having the meal with his disciples, and Judas gets up because he's already made a deal with the religious leaders. And he goes, you know what? Now is the time. He got up from the meal, that intimate moment. Jesus had just washed his feet. Imagine that. He had this in his head already, but Jesus is washing his feet. There's something of intimacy there with his disciples, and he gets up from that table, and he goes, now's the time. How much money? Oh, 30 pieces of silver. That'd do. He puts it back in his pocket, and then the brother comes back. He comes back and sits at the table like nothing. It's the equivalent of somebody coming to not this church, but that other church. Let's talk about the other church, and they act like everything's cool after they've sinned all week long. Knowingly. I'm not talking about a struggling thing of over. And if you're just checking out this Christianity thing and you're here visiting, I'm not talking about that. You're seeking God. You're looking for God. I'm talking about an established pretend fake Christian that's a hypocrite, and they knowingly do something all week long, and they come in like nothing. And they're acting like everything's cool, and there's no remorse. There's no repentance in their heart, because there should be, right? There are no perfect people at Living Faith Church. Aren't you glad? Amen. And when you found that perfect person, they weren't perfect because you messed them up. You met them, right? There are no perfect churches. And, you know, you walked in and made it unperfect, right? You unperfect. Jesus even says this, the one that betrays me is sitting here. I think it was Jesus kind of saying, you know what? There's still a chance for you, Judas. Imagine how beautiful that would have been in the gospel. If the gospel would have written like I would have wanted it written. Judas would have said, Lord, I just realized how beautiful your body is with this broken bread. I realize, Father, how the cup, Rabbi, how the cup is your blood. And I don't want to do this, Lord. And here's the money. I throw it down and I repent. Change me, God, because I'm aware. If he would have said something, imagine how beautiful that story would have been. The one that betrays me, he's giving him another chance. Come on, man. Come out of yourself and do something today. And that's why Paul, when he said, you know what, this communion is such a sacred act, and this is what you should do. You should repent, but you should be restored. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, in your hand out there, here it goes. He said, for when you receive what the Lord has also passed on to you, Paul got this revelation on how to do communion the way Jesus established it. He was an apostle. He said, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And everyone in verse 28, fast forward right there a few verses, everyone, that includes you and I, ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And it just shows it's a sacred time. It's not just something we just come and we just do whatever we want to do today. Yeah. If I'm being stubborn in my sin as a Christian, amen, if I'm doing something that is not right, amen, God's hand is going to be lifted off of my life today. And we're not, again, we want to take ourselves right now and deal with whatever we got to do to examine ourselves. I will even give the side of this side. If you're dealing with something, because all of us are, that's why you should come to this table. Because let the weak say, I am strong. I'm not perfect, but I need Jesus, right? And that's why I come to this table. Yeah, today, amen. And so, imagine again, he just sits down, Judas, and he's like, I'm just part of the 12 today, amen. He told Judas at the end, when he knew he was going to do it, after he probably took the bread, he whispered in his ear, in Matthew, I think, he told him, he said, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. And Judas got up and did what he did. The betrayal of Christ was there today, amen. See, a real church with real people, they'll come to the table, but again, they'll be forgiven by God because we've asked for forgiveness from our sins, right? Yeah. Just real people, amen. We're going to struggle in this place today, amen. My pastor that is a teenager, Luis Garcia, he told me, he said, si vas a pecar, hazte garras. In the heavenly language, because when we get to heaven, y'all are going to speak Spanish. Y'all better learn it, right? He says, if you're going to be the best sinner, if you're going to sin, be the best sinner in the world. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be one day in the, you know, I'm a Christian. The other day, you're a hypocrite. He said, be the best, man. But if you're going to be a Christian, go all in. You're going to love God, man. Give him everything and follow him. But if you're going to be a sinner, like he told you, if you're going to go do what you got to do, man. Go betray. If you're going to do this, go do it. That's what he was telling them. The Living Faith Church, Living Faith Church, we want to be healthy. We're part of a body in this church. No one is perfect in this church. But the leadership, along with myself, we don't want to play games. Do you understand that today? No one in this church. And I want you healthy. And that's the only way we live on our knees. God, forgive me. Help me. I'm coming in my weakness today. And I'm going to change. Give me a good amen. Amen. I'm not growing the church today. I'm making disciples and we're getting stronger. Right, everybody? Amen. Number three, dinner with Jesus fills our deepest, somebody shout, hunger. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, who would you have your last meal with? If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I wouldn't have my last meal with any of y'all. Except my family, my wife, my children. And that's what Jesus did. He knew he was going to die tomorrow. And he said, you're doing the will of God. You're my family. His disciples were around him. His closest people. That's why it was such an intimate moment. A moment that you can have where you're hungering for something in loneliness. Or you're wanting something that God can fill. And only God can fill your deepest hunger. Amen. That's how important it was to him today. And so in Luke chapter 22 verse 15... the Good News Translation says this. And he said to them, I wanted so much to eat this Passover meal before I suffer. This is what the moment of the 3 years of ministry that I've had with you. This is the climax moment. This is why the center. This is why I'm going to have a new beginning with you. It's not the end of something. This is why it's all coming together. This is why I'm doing what I'm about to do on the cross. Why I'm suffering it. He says, for I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is given in the full meaning of its kingdom of God today. A new covenant was about to happen. Married people, you get together and you're younger, you get married, you get together, you're intimate, you're going to have a baby. Amen. You're intimate. Intimacy happens, right? Intimacy with Jesus gives us life. Intimacy with Christ gives us life. Amen. It brings us life. Amen. You have this during your quiet time. If the devil is constantly jacking you up every week, then the Bible says as often as you come together, as often as you can. Well, do I do it once a month with the church? No, as often as you can, you come. That means you do. Great men and women of the Bible and history, they've had communion in their home. They just don't say, we just got to have it in church. No, they take whatever they have in their home, bread, cup, amen. If it's a little bit of wine, don't drink a lot of wine. Amen. Grape juice, fruit punch, it's all happened. Amen. In the dormitories, wherever. Where is it that you're having a hard time? If the devil's messing with you, if you're having debt, if depression's coming upon you, if that stronghold's coming upon you, that one thing that's your kryptonite, have a meal with Jesus. It takes preparation to do that. It takes time. I'm going to get my bread. I'm going to get my cup. I'm going to have communion at the table. Have it with your family. I want to be real upfront with you. Irma and I are going to start to practice this because we need some breakthroughs in our life, in our children's life, in our own life today. We're believing God for great things, and we want that. Would you join us during the season? Amen. Have bread. Have a cup. Have it ready. Amen. It doesn't take much, amen, to have that ready. There's not power in the juice. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so when you have that today, amen, have that meal before you walk into the doctor's office. Before the results are read, have the meal before you apply for that job. Have the meal before you go to the lawyer. Have the meal, break bread together. Amen. You can do that. You say, well, I don't know the ordinance. You could read Mark chapter 14 and read the Word of God. You can replay this on Facebook and look at the telecast and do it at the very end and fast forward and get to the point where we're going to break bread together. God wants you whole. If you're sick in your body, God wants you well. He wants you to get better. Amen. He wants you to get well. Amen. Do that through the meal today. Amen. If I was given a bad prescription, which I have been, just like everybody in this room, by the doctor, a bad outlook, I would take the meal. Amen. Because it's a miracle meal. Start taking the meal. You know the fall in the garden with Adam and Eve? You know what it was? It's because of what they ate. Right? They weren't supposed to eat. It's important what you eat. Eat the body of Christ. You're waking up today. Amen. We're good, right? We're going to eat right. Amen. Our health is going to get better today, right? Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that water burger on the way home. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Had to add that shake to it. Come on. Amen. Revelation, the final scripture as Chuck comes, verses 3 through 20. It says this, "Here I am." It's Jesus speaking. Notice the red letter. Red letter, right? "I stand at the door and knock." And Jesus sometimes has to use drastic means to get our attention. "I lost the job." He's knocking. "The family's in disarray. Nobody likes me. My home." He's knocking. Amen. It's better not to lose your soul. Amen. Right now, open the door. Open the door. Amen. Don't lose your soul. Open the door. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and they with me." The Lord is seeking right now in your life, close, intimate fellowship in your life today. Amen. That word where it says the meal, that eating right there, it's dat aneo. And it means it's the main meal of the day. I eat one big meal. Everybody in this room, we eat protein shakes and all that. God help you, amen. The plant, vegan. But you eat that one meal where I eat something and it's going to give me strength. That's the meal. That's the meal. That's the meal Jesus wants right there. He wants that meal with you. It's a big deal. He wants to have that meal with you. He wants to have intimacy with you. He wants to be close to you. Not just some leisurely thing, a snack. We're going to we're going to think about this. We're going to do this right today. Those on Facebook, I want you to prepare right now. You're at your home today. You can take some bread. You can take a cup, whatever you have. And it symbolizes the body of Christ and the blood of Christ today. You can do this together. We're going to keep showing you this video so you can walk with us and take communion with us. We want you to join us today. Amen. Let's bow and pray at this very moment today. Father, I thank you that all of God's children should come to the table this morning. It's not part of being living. We're not joining this church. We've been part of your church, your family, Lord, today. We're part of the body of Christ today. The only reason why you shouldn't come to this table today is if you don't know him as Savior. If you don't know him, you're far away right now from God. And you can do that in a prayer. "All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can call upon Jesus. See, Jesus is standing at the door, and he's waiting. He waits a long time for some of us. He's waited a long, long time right now. He's at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. Sometimes there's reproof that's needed, a rebuke that happens, but that's okay. You do the right thing. And sometimes he's encouraging you right now. "Come on, open the door. I'm not going to bust it down. You got to open it." You surrender your life today. And sinners need to repent. All the sinners that are saved by grace, we prayed this prayer. If you're in this room, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't do that, but I'll ask that your hands lifted right where you're at. I'll lead you in a prayer. And you'll pray the prayer, and the Savior will come and save you from your sins. If that's you, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if that's you, I need to come close. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Somebody else just lifting your hand towards heaven and saying, "That's me. I need a Savior. I need a new beginning." Anybody else? God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Beautiful family, beautiful couple. Yes. Amen. About three people lifted their hand. Four right there. I see your hand. Yes. God bless you. You can put them down, beloved, once you put them up. Let's pray this prayer. All the sinners that are saved by grace, we pray a prayer. I close my eyes when I pray. How about you? Let's close our eyes. Yes. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Only Jesus could have saved me from my sins. I realize the great cost. You died for me, my Savior. Your blood was shed for all the wrong things that I've done in my past, my present, and even in my future. Save me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fill the people of God with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for what you're doing right now, Jesus, in this room. Thank you for a new life at Living Faith Church. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's celebrate the Lord for just new life at Living Faith Church. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Before the day is over in our time, there's a connection card. I want you to fill it out. We're not going to be dismissed, but we're going to just make sure you let us know that you received Christ today. Amen. Yes, today. Amen. I want the elders, Douglas Cochran, if you can, and Howard Varial to join me at the table of the Lord today. I have a special guest, and at this moment, you guys can come close. We'll gather close. Amen. I believe the worship team is coming also, if they can. I have a special friend, Irma and I. We have the privilege on the front row with us is Pastor Randy Mask. He and his wife, Judy, have pastored Faith Church for over 36 years. They retired this season, not retired because we don't like to use that word, but they handed it off actually to their daughter and their son-in-law. And they're in a great season. And this great man, like a father to many pastors, and he's a father to me and the Lord. He sits in the group that I sit in, and man, when he speaks, I listen to him, because not too many men can be at a church for 36 years plus and be in love and marriage and be fruitful and build a great church. Amen. And so we're honored to have him in our midst. In a moment, Pastor, if you would, not to put you on the spot, but maybe you can pray over Irma and I, because I want to make it 36 years, and I want to go on and do all the I want to stay in love with my wife. Amen. Think of hunting. I got to think of hunting right now, hunting, so I don't cry. Amen. It works. Amen. I got myself out of that. Yeah. So I want your hand upon me today, and Irma wants, Judy, your hand upon us today, and we're honored that you're here today. Amen. And so we're going to take the elements together, amen. The back row will come first, amen. And the elders will serve you. Would you come and hold the elements for our people today, amen. And back row, would you begin to come, amen, as we come to the table of the Lord today. As you return to your seats, hold the element, and we'll take it together as a family.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Blind, but now Praise God. 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 Praise God.
Thank you, guys. Wait,
praise God. Praise God.
Douglas, I want to serve you today and just thank the Lord for you. I found out how long I've known you. It's over 21 years that I've known you, and you're significant in my life. We didn't choose elders quickly. We waited, and you're the elder of this house, and we thank God for you. I thank God for your faithfulness and your love towards the people. See, we're connected, and the connection is that I'm going to remember you. Jesus did this with 12 disciples, and he said to remember this moment. He could have done it with a bunch of people, but he did it with 12 people. And you represent this church, and so I'm going to remember you. I'm not going to dismember you. And I'll always talk highly of you. I'll talk of love of you, and I'll say the good things because you're one of our elders in this church. And I remember you today, amen, in my prayers and my thoughts. And Howard, I want to serve you too. Howard, I've known you 27 years, you've told me, and that's amazing because you never get older, amen. And you mean so much to me. You're my brother, amen. And so your older brother, you ought to listen to your older brother, amen. From my heart, amen. I want nothing but good things for you and your family and your children, your marriage. All the things that I want for my life, I'd want for your life and Douglas's life. I'm so thankful that you serve with me. 27 years of just your friendship and your love and your support means so much to me. Amen. Thank you. The first service, Richard Pantova, who had to go to work this afternoon, he was part of what I just did. And he's significant because I've known him for over a decade. Amen. So our elders, we're so fortunate to have these men that stand with me today. Amen. Our children came right at the last, they made it, amen? And so we want to serve you communion. Will you take an element? Maybe how we do this is important, but you just do it, amen? There you are. The table of the Lord is ready, amen? Once you have it, you can go with your parents, and you can sit by them if you can find them. If not, go with Rebecca, amen? She'll help you, but find your home, and there you go. God bless you, boys and girls. We love y'all. Bless the boys and girls. Say amen, amen? You really can't clap or you'll have juice all over the place, but you can amen them, amen. They're learning the principles of the Lord, amen. The life of Christ is here, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all the helpers and our young people, amen. They're marked, amen. In a moment, children, I'm going to do this because we're out of order a little bit. I'm going to call every young person up. If you're still a child under the age of 18, please come up. I want to anoint every child, amen. Thank you, Cassandra, for helping our children today and being a blessing today. Amen. So we hold the elements together. Amen. Thank you. You can stand with me here. In a moment, you're going to probably, after we drink the cup, we're going to want to, there's always somebody that goes into work mode. Would you enjoy the moment? What I mean by work mode is they have to gather the cups, they pass it. Would you hold on to the cup just a little bit longer today? You know how it goes. Just stay in the moment with me. It's important. Amen. We exalt our King. It's His body, amen, that was broken. On the night that He was betrayed, He broke bread. And I believe there's broken people in this church, along with myself. And we are broken, but we can be made whole when we take the bread today. That means we take the body of Christ, and there's health in our lives today. There's fullness in our lives today. Our spirit, soul, our emotions are healed today as we take this miracle meal. Amen. And Jesus said, take and eat of my body. Amen. And we take and eat the body of Christ right now. Symbolically, as the Passover angel, the angel of death passed over because of their doorpost, they were under the blood. So let's begin something new at Living Faith Church. Let's lift the cup over our heads because we're under the blood. That means depression has to go in the name of Jesus when we take this. The spirit of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. And so we expect to be healed. We expect to be delivered right now. If there's lack or you're believing God for a home right now, it's under the blood. The blood in the life is the blood. There's life right now in your home. There's life in your new beginning right now. And we proclaim that your house is saved. Your sons are coming back. We plead the blood right now as we take this meal together. Amen. There's a miracle about to happen. Thank you, Father. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he gave it to them. And he said, this is the cup of my new covenant. Drink all of it right now. We drink all of it right now. Pause in the moment right now and symbolically thank God right now for this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing that's taking place right now in bodies, fullness right now. Thank you, Lord, that depression has to leave this church and leave this body right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You're being healed of that sickness that the doctor said that you had right now. His blood is greater than he is the great physician right now in the name of Jesus. What is it that you need from God right now? Claim it because you're under the blood right now. You've taken a miracle meal in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all are getting it right now. Don't get left behind. Get yours right now. This moment was created just for you. How I long, Jesus said, to have this moment with you. He's wanted to give you everything that's good in your life right now and then some. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the touch of the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive it right now? Bless the Lord with me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. If our children would come up, just by the direction of the Holy Spirit, our elders would come up one more time. Let's lay hands on our children. Elders, would you come? Amen. Douglas and Howard, would you come right now? Children, come up. Just line up real quickly. We're just going to anoint. If parents, you want to come, we'll speak words over your children, some of them. Amen. Here you go. Here's oil right now. Lay hands on our children. Bless them. Each of them, just line up straight across. If you want to pause at a child and just bless them, that's okay. We receive it right now. Amen. Guys, you probably want to line up, amen, a little bit, go that way, amen, come on, let's go, let's do it, amen. Thank you, Father, amen, the touch of Jesus, amen. May the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I begged Pastor Randy to come, and he came, and I'm so thankful that he came to our church today. He's on our guest. Would you allow him to bless me? Would you rest your bodies? And Pastor, would you come? And Judy, would you come and bless Irma and I? And I know this was probably unexpected, but I'm going to give you this microphone, and you can use it. The people that it helped me, amen. They won't be that scary, amen. This man has given me counsel more than you'll ever know. I am a pastor this morning because of his influence and his love towards me and his counsel, and I wouldn't have made it without you. I want you to know that. You may say, well, you know, honestly, your example, your steadfast, and then just little things that you've said to my life through the years have made such an impact on me, and I'm so proud that you're here. He got freed up from his church, and because, again, what I just told you, and I'm so glad that he's here. So however you want to lead, you can, but I do want you to pray for me and bless me, amen.
God's a good God. You have an amazing pastor and wife and family. His influence in our city is growing all the time. He has even more influence than you know throughout our whole city. He leads us pastors every Wednesday. But not only that, God is beginning to give him favor with beyond that group of pastors that we meet together. And it's amazing to just watch the hand of God continue to rise on your pastor, the favor that he is growing in the life. And it's a privilege to know him and to know his family. And this week the Lord dropped something in my heart, and it had to do with springtime coming. And the word the Lord dropped in my heart was that winter is over. Spring has come. New life has come. Expectations for greatness comes. And this growth comes. Everything that you've been asking God for. And as I was sitting there just thinking about what a wonderful man of God you are, God just dropped it again in my heart. It says this is going to be the greatest season of y'all's life. And of this house. And as spring has come, the things you have tarried and worked for and planted is going to harvest, many of it overnight. And so it's a privilege to pray with you. So Judy, help me out here.
I got oil. What you do?
Okay.
Just want to make sure I do it right. Amen. Want to make it count. Amen. So there you go.
Y'all take hands. Father God, the word of the Lord is upon this family. For what you have prepared them is greater than they can even imagine. What you're going to do in the years to come, not only in Mario and his wife, but also in his children. For you have seen this family and seen the heart of these people, and you've said it is good and it is faithful. So now, Father, do what you said you would do in the beginning. When you put it in his heart to plant this church, when you put it in his heart to do this very work, for Lord, you are increasing favor upon him. Every moment of his life has been favored. Now increase it to another level, that what he has been tarrying to see happen, may it just flourish overnight. Father, may growth happen in this house beyond the imagination. Lord, as they continue to reach out into their community, You give them the whole community, not just a portion, but all of it. And Father, may it spread and that this house be planted all over this city. And we declare the name of the Lord, for you have favored this man of God with favor. You've favored him with a great wife and great children. And Father, we ask that your blessings be upon this marriage. May it flourish. May it continue to grow and do the work of the kingdom. May it be upon the children. May it be amazing what you're going to do with their lives. And Father, this house be blessed. This house be blessed because of the faithfulness of this man and this family. And we give you praise and we give you worship. Now may this house grow and exceed expectation. May they take and stretch their tent out even greater so that it will cover even more. And may freedom come through this house to this community. In Jesus' name, we bless everything that they have, everything that they are touching, everything that where they are walking. You have given them the land. So, Lord, we accelerate what you are doing in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Would you bless Pastor Mask and Sister Judy, the great pastors in our city? How many would like Pastor Mask to come back and preach now that he has time? Yeah, a little bit more? Please come back and minister to us. The pulpit's open whenever you want to do that. We'd like to hear. I want to sit there and listen to you so I can amen you. You'll be a blessing to me. I saved something that was great for you to see, the Feed Jay, the media that's ready for you. But why don't we do this because of our time? Would you get your giving ready? Some of us have brought our tithe and our love offerings above and beyond our tithe. If you'll get that ready, I'll bless it. And as the video's going up, you can bring it to the planters that we have here. If you're visiting for the very first time, we don't ask that you give. The sons and daughters of this house take care of the house. We keep the lights on. We bought the chairs for you to sit in, right? So you can do that. Would you hold on to your seat and let's go ahead and let me pray for you right now. Father, touch the tithe and the offering that God's people have brought back to the house of the Lord. Thank you for increase. Thank you for the generosity of God. Again, you won't overlook them in their house and their need now in the name of the Lord. You'll rebuke the devourer, as you say in Malachi, Lord. And thank you, Father. The devourer is rebuked off of their home in the name of Jesus as we give above and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give, and we'll see the media, and Chuck will dismiss us with a song. Amen. Thank you, sir.